This is the Sexy Life podcast for women who want to experience the best sex, healthy and happy intimate relationships, and live a life that lights up your heart and soul. I'm Sarah Rose Bright, a sex and intimacy coach and the creator of Intimate Sexuality. It's my joy to help women and couples to love and celebrate their sexuality, create fulfilling relationships, and find their pleasure, playfulness, and passion for life. A sexy life isn't the perfect, polished life. This is living from our hearts and appreciating and celebrating the magic of life in all its messy glory, embracing the reality of our humanness, the highs and the lows, the beauty and the challenges. I invite you to join me and my expert guests for candid, juicy, and inspiring conversations around sex, relationships, and life today. Whether you're curious about what's possible or committed to living your most wonderful and fulfilling life, I'm so happy you are here. Thank you for joining me for this episode with Olivia Bryant, founder of Self-Cervix. And Olivia's work is just incredible. She's at the forefront for reclaiming the cervix. And she talks about why we know so little about it, what the cervix is, how to find yours, and how to start to explore your cervix and why it takes time to do this. She also gives us a glimpse into the psychedelic qualities of cervical orgasms and talks so eloquently about the importance of owning your self-worth and having a committed relationship with yourself. I really hope you enjoy this very enlightening conversation. Welcome to today's podcast episode. And I'm super, super excited to introduce Olivia Bryant, founder of Self-Cervix. And Self-Cervix is a global movement that reclaims the cervix as a powerful organ for orgasm and awakening. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. Excited to talk about this topic.
I'm so excited to hear about this topic. So I always love to start with some background. So tell me about you and how you got into this work with the cervix.
Yes. Okay. So it's funny. I was just making something this evening where I was sharing that I never, ever planned to talk about this. I couldn't even imagine in a million years that I would be talking about how to experience cervical orgasm and work with the cervix. I was pretty stuck in my own sexual journey. I was in my 20s, and then in my 30s, I trained in sexology, but it was really for me because I was so shut down. I was came from a pretty, I think many of us come from families where it wasn't really done to talk about sex. It wasn't that safe in the family home to talk about sex. It was all awkward. But I was definitely always into it. I have memories from extremely young being very sexual. I'm sure many of us have those memories as well, but definitely from my teenagers, it just shut off. And it took me until the end of a relationship in my 20s to realize, like, wow, you know, I'm actually quite an expressive person, but this area of my life feels completely shut down and locked. So I spent the next, 15 years going on my own, just my own personal journey. And then in my 30s, I trained in sexology to be a sex coach. And I started sex coaching mainly to help people with shame, because by that stage I'd overcome shame, but I was still very stuck orgasmically. Like I had, like, I was using a, you know, a very big vibrator to feel anything. Like, you know, it was a Hitachi magic wand, it was an awesome tool, like, at the time. But I didn't realize until this work that it had actually really kind of conditioned me to such intense stimulation that, you know, I couldn't feel anything on the inside much. I mean, sex was okay, but, you know, I'd read about these experiences of, you know, beautiful divine unions with sex. And, you know, I have a background in tantric philosophy. So I understand that the body can be used as a vessel to connect back to the source. But I thought, well, that is all sounds very nice. And it sounds very, like, dreamlike, but it's not my experience. Like, that won't be for me. That'll be for other people that are freer and more liberated and more lucky. And, you know, and so I'm just going to work on shame and help people with some shame. But anyway, even that was too hard in the end. And I thought, I'm going to quit sex altogether, because I just found like a mountain of misogyny and a mountain of like, it is the shadow of sexuality is as big as the light. The thing is, we have a lot more information about the shadow of sexuality, you know, and how bad it can get. We have no way near explored how light and beautiful it can get. And I am so blessed to be able to be exploring that particular side of it. So when I decided I was going to quit, I had ended a relationship and I went to Bali and I thought, well, my pelvis was in so much pain. I was so literally like closed for business. And I went and I had a bodywork session internal just to try to like, you know, make some space and like, heal, I guess. And the body worker had his finger on my cervix and was like, do you feel anything? And I just couldn't feel a thing, not a thing. And because I understood by now, because of my research, that the cervix has got highly innervated. There's three sets of paired nerves connecting into the cervix, which is the most highly innervated part of your reproductive and sexual organs. So it is very sensitive, and yet mine was numb. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And I wonder why I can't have these, you know, internal orgasms or deeper experiences of orgasms, because I'm numb. And so I went on a training regime, like a personal training regime. I literally have memories. I took a photograph of throwing my massive vibrator out because I realized like I'd been 100% conditioned to this extreme sensation, stimulation on my external genitals, on my clitoris. But inside, I didn't have much of a relationship to it. And so my training was like starting to feel inside with my fingers, which for many people is pretty confronting. And then even touching my cervix, I'd never touched my cervix for the first 3 weeks. I thought I was touching my cervix, but I actually wasn't. It wasn't until one day I decided to, you know, just go wild inside of my vagina that I found it totally on the left side. And started this process. But because I was so numb, I just forgot my practice and I just got bored and I didn't practice anymore. Because when you're numb inside and you're sort of trying for pleasure, but you're stimulating yourself on the inside and you don't feel much, it's not very exciting. You feel like you're never going to feel pleasure again. And it's very discouraging. So I actually stopped. And then I thought, wow, maybe there's other people that want to explore this with me. So I started a group on Facebook, an event, and I was like, hey, you want to stimulate your cervix with me for 21 days? And I thought it would be like 12 people in Melbourne, and it was 1,200 people from around the world in a weekend joined this group. Like, and I just had to close the doors and be like, no, we're not accepting any more people coming in, because honestly, it was an experience of everybody staring at me like, okay, what do we do? And me going, I have no idea, but let's figure it out. And that was 6 years ago, nearly 6.5 years ago now. So a lot has happened since then. So yeah, that's the background.
Wow, what an incredible story. Wow. And so tell me, I mean, it's a huge conversation, but what have you learned about the cervix? I mean, yeah. The cervix isn't talked about in a lot of sexual communities. It's like sort of the final frontier on one level. Tell me what
I mean, that's how I say it. And the reason why I want to share that story is because I want people to know, like, you know, most of us are sitting with an experience of like, oh, these experiences that I'm speaking about, you know, with cervical orgasm and stellar lovemaking, these feel in just unachievable, unattainable, like a lot of pressure, and I'll never get there. And I share my story because, you know, I've done the healing work. Everybody can have this experience. So, you know, that's, I guess, one of the main things that I understand about the cervix is that it's, we are conditioned to understand the cervix in one particular way, and that is medicalized. It is, you know, you go to your gynecologist if you're having issues, you have your cervix biopsied, you have pap smears, you know, your cervix goes, you could have a LETS or a LEAP procedure, which is the lasering. You could have the cone bio, you know, there's a lot that happens to the cervix, hysterectomies. And then there's birthing conversation, which is a beautiful function of the cervix. But, you know, it's very medicalized in general. It's always somebody else touching your cervix to see if everything's okay. And there isn't, there's a massive piece of our understanding that's left out of the collective consciousness. So why would you include your cervix in consciously in your self-pleasure or in your partnered sex life if you have no idea that it has any potential to be pleasurable? So for most of my life, it just didn't even factor. And it was only when I started growing in my awareness, like, oh, okay, so this is a very sensitive part of the body. Makes sense. It's how we are birthed into the world usually. And so it's very sensitive. So what happens if I start to include it in my self-pleasure? And you know, initially, I'm going to say some people will experience not a lot happens, and it's really boring and confronting because shame will come up, might come up because you're going inside of yourself. That might bring up some taboo, or it might bring up some kind of repulsion. That's a very common experience. There can be a lot of resistance, but then over time, you might have people that are like, oh, actually, I can feel something there. And it starts to glimmer awake over time. Some people, it's an instant. But I think that for most of us, because of disassociation, lack of education, shame and trauma, for most of us, it's kind of a bit of an absent area, a bit of a dark spot in our pleasure education. Even in the medical community. Mm-hmm. So they think that the cervix is only function during sex, and orgasm is like the upsuck motion. So the contraction that causes the sperm to move into the cervix. So it's usually like, obviously its function is in collaboration only with male sperm. You know, it actually can be orgasmic it's got nothing to do with that necessarily.
And thank you for putting it in the context of the medicalization, because I love what you shared. I looked on the website around the history of the cervix and the science piece, and how Kinsey in the 30s was researching the cervix and found, well, I'd love you to tell the story of that actually, and the history of it, because it's really important.
Yes. So Alfred Kinsey did this amazing, you know, huge, one of the first major pieces of sex research in the 50s. And he had that like a thousands of people, you know, taking part in this survey report. And his findings on the cervix were really interesting, because he had them, people with cervixes, apply different pressure to the cervix, either, you know, like strong steady pressure or like with a cotton bud. And he reported that nobody felt anything, basically. So he reported the cervix as a numb organ in the body, as not feeling anything. But in actual fact, people did report feeling something with the pressure. And he actually misreported his own findings, which I don't understand why he would do that, but he misreported his own findings. And so what he ended up, because we can see his own findings, you can actually see the results of his research, and then you can see what he's written about his research. But so what the medical community has done is taken what he's said as basically hearsay, and that formed the basis of understanding of the cervix from the 1950s onwards. And I've had debates in forums. I've given up now. I don't care. I've had debates in forums with female doctors about this. I've said, here's the research. Here's Kinsey's research. Here's Komisarek and Ripple's research on the nerves and the orgasmic nature of the cervix. But they don't want to know. They're so rigidly stuck in the past. Makes no sense to me why female doctors wouldn't want to kind of champion for more for us, because I feel like that's what this is about. It's like, when we don't know that there's more, how do we know that there's more? So when, what I'm doing is I'm saying there's more, there's more, there's more. A lot of people read that as pressure. Like, oh my God, why do we have to be so orgasm focused? And I agree, like, there's a lot more to sex and sexual intimacy than just the orgasm. But part of my, I feel my responsibility is to say, you know, this is a possibility in your body. Whether you reach it in this lifetime or not, don't know. It's going to depend on so many factors, but we can start to understand this and integrate it as a valid part of our sexual response now. And maybe we might experience it in this lifetime. Maybe our daughters might experience it in this lifetime, in their lifetimes, but the conversation has to move forward.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And I'd love to hear just you talk about what the cervix is, because
yes,
maybe there's people that don't know exactly what the cervix is. And I know it's not so easy to do when we don't have a video, but about the anatomy of the cervix. Thank you.
Totally. And a lot of people I know, they don't know what the cervix is unless they've birthed and they've been through an experience of birthing. Or, a colleague of mine, you know, she came to me one day and she was like, oh, I'm really embarrassed to say that I thought I had a growth inside of my vagina. And I was going to all these doctors and no one could tell me what it is. And I finally went to this doctor and he was like, no, it's your cervix. It's not a growth. It's your cervix. So if you don't know what your cervix is or where it's at, you know, it's like understandable because we don't get taught. So you've got your uterus sitting in there, and your cervix is the neck of your uterus. So it's where the cervical spine comes. It's the same. It's the neck of the uterus.
Okay.
The cervical spine is your neck, right at your neck. And the cervix protrudes into the vagina. So it feels different than the tissue of the rest of your vagina. It's kind of harder. And if you were to reach in, or if you were to touch it, if you were to touch the tip of your nose, it has a similar feeling. It has like a ridgy feeling, like a little mini donut inside there. And your cervix will move, or your whole uterus moves, according to where you're at in your cycle. When you bleed, it goes low. And when you're ovulating, it moves up high. And when you're sexually aroused, your cervix will move out of the way. So your whole uterus lifts. It's drawn up by a ligament. And what tends to happen if a person with a cervix or a woman is not aroused enough, then the uterus doesn't lift enough. And so we end up getting whacked at the cervix. And if you ever felt that sharp pain during sexual intercourse, it's probably your cervix getting whacked. Mm-hmm. So one thing that cervix has taught me is, like, if you want me to be sensitive, if you want me to be sensitive, if you want me to feel, and if you want me to orgasm, you're going to have to make sure you start treating me like this sacred jewel inside of your vagina. And do not let anybody enter you until you are fully ready to receive them. Receiving somebody else into your body has nothing to do with them. It is all and only to do with your readiness and your consent. And I think that can be very easy to go along with our partner's arousal, or we want to please, or we think we should be aroused in a particular time frame, and we override what is true and real for us. We have these pornographic expectations that we're just hot and ready and wild instantly. And, you know, we our partners and potentially ourselves are not educated in the realities of what female arousal looks like. It can be very slow, it can be very fast, or it can be very slow. And it, and to honor and to protect the cervix, to protect this jewel in the crown, essentially, it's to really start to understand, okay, you know, your vagina will actually tell you when she's ready to receive. and it's staying true to that rather than true to what your mind thinks and tells you you should do, or even if you're really in love with the person, you can't understand why you're not arousing properly and you think you should, you know, it's like staying very true to what the experiences is. You know, I've had experiences, especially early on in my journey. Oh, I've had so many experiences. I've had so many learning experiences. I've learned through mistake after mistake. And, you know, one of my first mistakes was, you know, I was recovering. It was not long after I started this, actually. It was 3 or 4 months and I was still recovering from the previous relationship and probably wasn't ready to have sex with someone, but I met this really cool guy and I really was attracted to him. And I remember thinking, you know, I really want to have sex. I really want to have sex. I really want to move on from this past. I really want to be here. And so I was kind of all will driven and the sex was terrible. Because I just actually wasn't really ready and I wasn't really there. And I've had other experiences where, you know, I've had periods of celibacy because, you know, I don't know why. Let's just say my story at the time was I wasn't putting myself out there enough. So therefore I wasn't meeting somebody who could meet me, I felt could meet me. One day my friend said, Livia, you've got to get off the fence. Just go out there, put yourself on Tinder. Go out there and get laid. And she's completely different from me. 100% different. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Did it next night. So easy to get laid. Who knew? And it was terrible, terrible. This person, yes, he was sexy. Yes, he was charming, but he had absolutely no sexual skill, no sensitivity. And I, at that stage, didn't have the confidence to know how to create an experience for my cervix and for the ultimate sexual experience. The experience that I'm sharing with you now was actually ended up being an experience of sexual assault. So that was kind of like universe giving me a bit of a slap. Like, it's time for you to start really putting your action where your words are. Because I was talking a lot about empowerment and I was talking a lot about asking for what you want and boundaries and how to create these experiences, but I was still lacking in my own self-esteem to walk into these random experiences and have a very different way of approaching sex. And it was that experience that ended up in sexual assault that made me go, okay, I hear you loud and clear. There is nothing that is more important than having a clear boundaries and clear understanding about what you're willing to receive and not, what you want and what you don't, and having the self-worth to express it. So that was a big turning point. So I suppose I'm saying that because, you know, I want to say, like, I've made big mistakes and I've got myself in big trouble, you know, trying to be, you know, what I think many women I'm not sure about all people with cervixes, but I'm just going to say people who align with womanhood can fall into these, you know, very intergenerational traumatic patterns of pleasing and sacrificing. And, you know, I'm one of them. And I'm still learning how in other areas of my life, how to like exorcise that pattern out of my being. So I love the cervix so much because this not only is the cervix this like incredible portal of awakening, but also when you are truly loyal to and committed to having a healthy sensate cervix, then yeah, you have to be empowered. You must speak. You must speak up. And that's a journey in itself.
Yeah, it's a huge journey. And, you know, hands up, full disclosure, I've been on that journey and still am myself. And the amount of times when I've said yes to things, when I've really meant no or not been able to voice them, I've had my cervix being banged and not been able, felt able to say anything, all sorts of different things. And it is such a key part of the picture. And I think that's why the self-practice as well is so important, to really come home to your body and that deep listening and deep connection. Because I know for me, I didn't know what my body needed. And I didn't understand that my pleasure was valid and that I could build and create and have a voice for my pleasure. So it's just a huge journey, isn't it?
Yeah. And you say self, and you can say like my self pleasure practice, but also my sense of my self worth practice.
Yeah.
Like I have an entire program called self partnership because I realized like part of the issue, it's beyond the bedroom. It's like dealing with our relationship to self. You know, the trauma that we inherit from grandmother and mother that we continue to bring into our lives. And it's like really learning how to develop a new loving and consistent relationship with self that allows you to have these conversations, even if the person walks out the door, even if the person laughs in your face, even if the person doesn't care, even if the person doesn't understand what you're talking about. There's nothing more important than your integrity and your commitment to, you know, your own self-care and what matters for you. And, you know, the right person, you know, what works for you, it's going to work for them, you know.
100%.
Or they'll walk out the door or they'll leave and thank God you want them enough.
Absolutely. So with the cervix, how, for somebody listening who is curious to explore this area of their body, how might they start? And I know you offer a wonderful programs, and I'll share the links for those in the show notes, where you take women on a community of women on these journeys together. So yeah, just I'd love to hear about that and how someone might start on their own.
Yeah, so going back to when I was starting on my own, actually. So I've shared how you know that you're on your cervix. So I've shared what it feels like. And I want to say, you know, the anatomy pictures that you'll see of a uterus and a cervix, it will look like you put your finger right up your vagina and your cervix will be vertically at the top. And I don't think I've met a person who's had their cervix vertically at the top. It's funny, a lot of us have our cervixes right over to the left, on the left-hand side wall. So I guess I'm saying, you know, you have to probably explore to see where your cervix is. Some people might have it inverted and it might be quite hard to feel because it's right in the back where they find it hard to feel. But most people, you can feel it, but you have to search a bit. So what you want to do when you explore your cervix, make sure you have a lubricated finger, make sure you're in an uninterrupted safe space, and you need to kind of squat. I can squat because I'm quite flexible, or you can actually sit on the toilet, which isn't very glamorous or sexy, but it's a way, if you're not very flexible, that you can reach your cervix without having to go into a squat position. that the theory, the idea is you just need to be able to shorten your torso enough that your arm can reach down and in and your finger can go up. So usually squatting, you know, if you're on your back and you are quite flexible, you can put your butt right up on pillows, legs bent way back, and then reach down and under, or toilet. So those are the ways that I would suggest reaching for your cervix. If you find, you know, for some people, doing a self-examination like that, like feeling inside and exploring inside, or even definitely pleasuring inside, it can bring up, like I said at the beginning, some really uncomfortable feelings. And I always say that this journey, it's really about who you meet in yourself along the way. Rather than it being about a destination or a goal, I think it's a journey about personal development. So if this comes up for you and you're finding yourself feeling very judgmental or repulsed or icked, or just look at that and be like, okay, wow, why is this coming up for me that I find it very difficult to go inside of myself, or, you know, I find I'm repulsed by this experience. So consider that this isn't yours and that this is very, very old. And this is part of a very old conditioning. And so be compassionate and take the time that you need to give yourself permission that it's okay to go to these places on your own. In fact, this belongs to you. This is your body. And if the doctors can go touch it, if your lovers can go touch it, by all means, it should be up to you to touch it first and foremost. So, and then we actually sell wands specific for reaching the cervix. But the thing is, if you don't know what your cervix feels like or what the general area feels like, you know, the wand is, it's not connected to your sensory experience. So it can be quite hard to feel unless you know what the area feels like. So I can feel my cervix. I know when I'm on my cervix with my wand because I know what my cervix feels like. I know what it feels like around my cervix. But if you're just new to it, you might have no idea. So I always suggest, you know, touching with your fingers first. It's the most empowering way to go, and it will give you a direct sensate connection. Yep. And I also want to say that some people take ages before they actually find their cervix, you know, so you might not find it first time. It's okay. Keep looking.
And so really hearing that this is a journey that takes time.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the hardest challenges for me and this work, is that we're used to and wanting things to just hurry up and give me the experience. Yeah. You know, instant gratification culture. And the cervix just isn't that. Just isn't. It's like slow. It's slow sex. It's slow and sensitive. It's, you know, if you've spent, you know, 20 years, 25, 30, 40, 50 years not in relationship to this part in the body, you just got to give it the time. You know, it took me 4 years of directly working doing this work. In my, I think towards the end of my fourth year, towards the end of the first year, I started feeling differences, and it gradually, slowly started shifting. But it wasn't until my fourth year that I started having like the beginnings of cervical orgasm. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. And I want to just be really clear, like, I come from a particular background. You know, I'm an anxious type of person. So I tend to hold a lot in my body. So that my journey could be way longer than many other people's journeys. I have no idea. I think one thing that I'm always suspicious by is when I see these things like, three steps to this, or like, you know, 3 steps to having a cervical orgasm. I'm like, 3 steps? having said that, I think I've just written something that says 10 steps to interstellar sex. But like, I think, you know, that is ironic because there, it's not about that. It's so detailed and every single body is different. What I can provide is a general map. And then every body is going to, you know, take the map and go, how does this work in me? And what works for me? There is no one way. So people look at me and they're like, just tell me how. And I'm like, okay, I can give you tools. It's kind of like falling asleep. Someone can tell you to, like, you know, have low lighting, don't look at your screens after 9 o'clock, make sure you don't drink caffeine. But they can't teach you how to fall asleep. It just happens miraculously when you're not looking.
Yeah, and I discovered them when I was by accident with my partner, because we were just exploring super slow lovemaking. And then these just sensations just came out of nowhere. And it was just like suddenly my cervix woke up. I had a bit of a relationship, but it was only sensation based rather than pleasure based. Yeah. And then just suddenly my cervix woke up and it was just like, whoa, what was that?
Yes. And I bet you, if you'd been going, I just want to have a cervical orgasm. Where's my cervical orgasm? If you were like really locked into watching, yeah, it would have been a way, it would have probably just kept sliding out of your grasp. Yeah. It's like you gotta like be so present and enjoying of what is there. Do, you know, train your body, heal your body, sensitize your body, learn about what you like and how you like to be touched, get confidence in how to speak about this, practice on yourself. And then at the end of the day, it's kind of out of your hands and you sort of have to let go of a lot of technique. You have to let go of a lot of the things that you've so-called learned and relax into the moment and trust that, you know, all these things that have been doing it in your body. So, you know, most of the self-service work, most of my work was about creating more sensation inside of myself. Mm. So I spent majority of the journey just trying to become more sensitive. You know, and then I had to kind of just ultimately, you know, and then learning a few particular practices, but then ultimately it's stepping out of the way, which is pretty beautiful because then your body just takes over.
Pretty beautiful and often the hard part.
Because here's the thing, we're so used to controlling, yeah, and the idea of surrender, being vulnerable, being that vulnerable and surrendering that much to the nervous system that is not robust or is not kind of practiced or not trained, or it can feel like a shock. And what the nervous system will do is like being like, no, you cannot, and try to control the situation. And you might control by coming back into your head or by distracting yourself or by focusing on the other person or like, you know, shutting down, whatever you do, it's like to avoid surrendering completely into the moment. You know, it's a whole different paradigm of lovemaking, because what we're really taught about lovemaking is it's for making babies. You know, like it's pleasure, yes, lovely pleasure, but also mainly the goal is in this, you know, human world is to reproduce. And then we get into these other states, which is completely almost anti-biology, because you have to sort of subvert the part of yourself that, like, the horny part that just wants to go for the climax. You have to be like, no, slow down. We're just meandering now. We're just enjoying. We're just exploring. Just feeling. It's all we're doing, just feeling, you know, and that's really kind of anti your biology. So it's a bit of a leap, you know, going into a state of true surrender where you're no longer wanting to have a goal and control the goal. You're just kind of letting go into something bigger than you. That's, I don't know how to describe it.
That's a beautiful way. That's a beautiful way. And how would you describe for people listening a cervical orgasm? how that differs from other types of orgasms.
Yeah, it comes up a lot. And I got to say, I sometimes hesitate because I don't want people to start looking for it, because they'll start looking for my experience. And then as soon as they look for my experience, they've lost it. So what I want to say is that they're all different. They're all different depending on what kind of person, what kind of human you are. Like, some people are very visual. Some people are very kinesthetic. My experience, here's what I think I can say that might be universal to all of, well, I'm just talking myself because I think that there are also kind of different levels. Like, there's these psychedelic experiences where there is, you just leave. And, you know, in my experience, it's like I become a light body. I just become a flash, and I become, you know, so that it looks like two bodies just joined and completely still. Nothing is happening, but we are just in a different world together. And it feels just like a light body. And what I understand is that my partner was experiencing the same things as me. So we're in the same field. But I've also, I can't even tell if the next one that I'm going to share with you is a cervical orgasm, but I can say it was the stimulation was on my cervix. But this is what I feel like a lot of people experience as a cervical orgasm, is like a long expanding experience of bliss that is just like rolling on a beautiful ocean of pleasure. That is, I've experienced that as well. And I remember saying at the time, oh my God, this feels, I'm just in heaven right now. I'm just in heaven. And it was kind of like, like a drunkard, like saying, I'm just in heaven. But we were more on planet Earth with each other. The other experience that I'm talking about, when you just kind of disappear, I mean, that is what I'm sharing, is like a DMT kind of experience where it's like a dream. So until there is some actual concrete science studied on this, we can only assume. But it's very, very difficult to measure. So we can only compare like psychedelic experiences and what they sound like and feel like to these experiences. But I suppose what I would say to people wondering, it's like, what does it feel like that's different? I would say, do not look for a clitoral orgasm. Do not look for, you know, kind of a shallower internal orgasmic experience. This is very, very deep, deep, deep. And it's not like a climax where you kind of go, it's not like that at all, where there's this rise to a peak. It's like this deep groan rolling, like, just goes nowhere. It just goes where it is. It's like a state of being rather than somewhere to go. And, you know, when I'm in the sort of when I'm having this light body experience, I'm not breathing at all. I've completely disappeared. There's no breath. And it reminds me of the French, how they say la petite mort, a little death. And that's kind of what it's like. It's like a little death. So I think when I was beginning, I was sort of looking for an experience similar to clitoral orgasm, like a climax where you sort of rise in your sexual energy and your peak. This is different. This is just a slow, meandering build of sexual energy that kind of expands and just can, you know, expands and rolls and expands, and you only need to stop when you run out of steam. You know, there's no kind of sort of kind of quick climax and then you're done. You know, it's just not like that. It's different. So yeah. I just kind of don't like getting into I know it's sort of useful, but I try to sort of stay away from my specific experience, because I've collected over 100 experiences from people with cervical orgasms, and they're all different. They're so different. I like to, you know, once when I would say when, if you've touched your cervix, excuse me, if you're doing some work, you know, internal work, so you started to move either equal focus between your clitoris and your internal, or the majority of your focus internal, right? So you've started developing that neural pathway. When your lover is on your cervix, or when you think you're on your cervix, if you're on your own, just register that and imagine your brain connecting down to that point and breathe down to it and let go into it and relax your body more and more. Relax your body more and more into that point. Just let it open up for you. It's sort of not an experience of trying or pushing. It's an experience of letting go.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And I think that's just so important to really emphasize how different our experiences all are. Yeah. And this different way of being with our pleasure that's not what we learn from diving onto the energy and chasing it and pushing it and all of these things. It's exactly the opposite. And pleasure will open up in different ways just from following that alone.
And that was really confusing for me, you know, because I'd followed some traditional paths and I just felt like I couldn't work it out. Like I felt like I was pushing for something or pulling for something or like trying hard or something. I don't know. And I had all these in workshops. I was in these rooms of all these, you know, people like breathing or pulling up the energy or pulling up the energy. And I was just like, I don't understand. I just would walk out like either feeling inadequate or feeling like I was tense. I didn't understand. All I needed to do was to figure out how to be more and more in my body and just more and more in my naturalness.
Mm.
You know, just more, less trying, less thinking, just more feeling and more accepting. You know, just more accepting of what's happening, loving myself, loving my body, relaxing around the present experience. That's it.
Yeah, beautiful, and such a practice for the rest of life, not just for our pleasure.
I know. I always used to say, like, just walk around with this one word, relax. Relax and let go. These are the two keys to life, because they're the two keys to orgasm. Relax and let go. So easy, so hard.
Yeah.
The biggest breakthroughs for me in my life have come when I fully let go in life. Self-cervix birth, when I let go of a relationship, let go of my job, let go of my city, moved countries with nothing in my wallet. I've heard that story before, you know, you hear that story. People just leave their life behind and then their life begins. And this idea of just relax. It's all going to work out, or it's all taken care of, or trust yourself. Just so easy, so hard.
Absolutely. And I'd love to finish hearing something around this new body of work that you're birthing, the interstellar sex.
Yeah. So this work, I put this iteration, this work out 3 years ago, and I hadn't received that. I say received because a lot of this work is actually channeled. So I hadn't received this information 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago, I did another version of it. And I was starting to research the alternative versions of Mary Magdalene and looking at kind of humans in the world who've had supernatural experiences, people who've, you know, the Siddha yogis. And I started to explore human potential. And I think that this is related to human potential. When we start to access this level of sexual energy, it can be used for healing others, healing ourselves, can be used for growth and manifestation. But I still hadn't quite experienced it in my body. And then this experience for me happened in end of 2019, 2020. I met a beautiful love. and he was not trained in any of the sexual arts, but he was a very sensitive person. And so I gave him a few very simple things to do. And together we experienced this otherworldly state of lovemaking. It was a very moving experience for me and life-changing. And it brings me to tears when I think about it. That relationship had to end because he was 17 years younger than me, and we had to really be honest about how long we wanted to go deeper with each other, because we were falling in love, but we were also so afraid of the future. So we decided that we needed to end it, which is kind of one of the big current tragedies in my life, is that we couldn't take it any further. We were exploring this for about 8 months, but it was enough for me to know the process and to understand the elements, and for me to be able to transmit this. And so the program called Rapture is really an exploration, and it always has been. This is understanding the energetics of sex. So it's probably not a beginner's program. We're entering into the world beyond the physical. So the idea that the first step is healing, and the second step is understanding what you like and how you want to be touched, and, you know, feeling sovereign in your body. And then the third step is moving beyond the physical and into the larger aspect of who we are, which is the energetic, the non-physical, which, you know, in spiritual traditions, this has been taught about forever. And it's quite hard to have, it's hard to grasp, because we can't see this. We can't even measure it. We can only feel it. So a large part of this work is moving beyond technique and into the subtle body. And so it's developing the sensitivity and attunement to the subtle body that is the ultimately what's occurring during cervical orgasm, when you move beyond the physical body into the energetic. So, I mean, I have fun with it. It's and I think, like, no matter where you're at in your sexual journey, there's something in it for you, because I think we can all learn how to feel more and how to become more sensitive. So that's what we're up to. That's our next program, is exploring, you know, how to really feel just a refinement in our sensing.
And is that a journey that people will go on in the course individually, or can they go with lovers, partners?
It's all about self at the moment. Okay. Yeah, I haven't got on to, because I feel like there needs to be like a men's program, or a people with penises program, and then a couple's. At the moment, it's just like, let's just deal with me, and then what I bring into my relationship. Because I actually do speak about, you know, when you're with a partner, like, I do refer to that.
Yeah.
But my most important mission is that we have this empowerment with ourselves. You know, I was with a body worker the other day, and it was a classic experience of, like, I had a big energetic opening, and I said, oh, I want to practice this at home. Do you think that's possible? And he said, no, I don't know, because it's because of what I'm doing, some things that's allowing that to happen in your body. And I'm just like, no. What's happening in my body is because of me. And I want to really separate ourselves out from the other. That whatever happens inside of you, somebody else might be assisting and facilitating something inside of you. But unless, if you're not sensitive, if you're not, like, you know, doing the work, or if you're not, like, owning your pleasure and learning how to interact with you, then it doesn't matter what they do. Because it's like the guy touching my numb cervix. He could have stimulated that for as long as he liked, but as long as I was numb. So remember, like, it's like you're the source of what you experience. And so, yeah, Rapture is about cultivating this experience and feeling what we can feel for ourselves. And then we come together with a lover, and we realize how much sensitivity we need to be able to access. So if you're with a partner who is applying a lot of stimulation, stimulation, I guess would be the way to put it. I'm trying not to be too heteronormative. A hetero kind of example would be cock and vagina pumping in and out. It's too much stimulation to be able to feel the very, very fine, subtle things that are going on inside of your body. So we need to feel what is inside of us, and then we can guide a partner to slow down or stop or move or stop or slow down for us to be able to feel. And the whole partner thing, that's an entirely big, huge conversation.
That's a beautiful place to start to draw this to a close, and the power of our own experience, and that we are our own source. So thank you. And I'd love to finish with a couple of little questions. One is, I'd love you to share a practice that you do that is really important, something that you do that might be something that's inspiring for listeners to hear. Just one small thing that's been really important. If you could pick one.
Well, I suppose the one important thing for me was de-armoring. And anybody who's interested can go to my website, selfcervix.com. You enter your email and you can receive a handout on how to de-armor. And de-armor is basically a tension release. So it's like trigger pointing inside of your own vagina or clitoris, where you are using pressure or touch to start to awaken sensation. And I think that was probably the foundation. That's where I began. So that's what I would say would be one thing. You can work with a wand, you can work with your finger. I like a wand because you can get deeper into the tissue, you can massage your muscle more. So it's about releasing numbness, releasing tension. And people who are listening might be quite surprised when they touch inside of themselves. It might feel tense, it might feel numb, there might be stringy bits, lumpy bits, but they might feel free and completely free. Yeah,
thank you. And I think that's so important as well, for what you share about that it's really important for us to have that experience with our own fingers, because it's such an important part of the healing and learning journey as well, as using the wands. And you sell the beautiful wands, the release wands. You can find them on your website as well. And a final question, this is the Sexy Life podcast. So what does living a sexy life mean to you?
Whoa. God, I feel like I'm always involved in this conversation. So work, it's like very intertwined. Living a sexy life. Okay, let me just feel into that one for a second. You know what? Living a sexy life for me is like I ask myself the question, if I was fully loving myself right now, what would I do? And often the answer is leading me towards more freedom or more pleasure or more ease. So if I'm feeling stuck in any area of my life, I just might do a little journal entry. If I really loved myself right now, what would I do differently? Mm. And it leads to this beautiful expansion. And I know that doesn't seem sexy, but actually the results are pretty sexy when you look at them.
Thank you. That's such a big, beautiful question. Thank you so much. And where can people find you on social media?
So I'm on Instagram, selfcervix, or you can find me selfcervix.com. And there's a lot of things there you can download for free, and a lot of information that we've been talking about here.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'll share all your links in the show notes. You've got a fantastic Instagram account, so I really recommend people visit that.
And also, for any of your readers, before June, we're in 2022, if they want 10% off any of their courses, I've given you a discount there, Sarah.
Amazing. We'll share that around as well. Thank you so much for your time today. It's just been so gorgeous to dive more into this topic. And thank you for this incredible body of work that you're bringing into the world.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you so much for letting me share it with your people.
Pleasure. Thank you for listening to the Sexy Life podcast with me, Sarah Rose Bright. You can find all the details for me and my guest in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, and to make it easier for other people to find out about the Sexy Life podcast, I'd so appreciate it if you could take a moment to subscribe to or follow the podcast, review and rate it on Apple or Podchaser, and do share with your friends, loved ones, or anyone you think would benefit. Wherever and whenever you are listening, I wish you a beautiful day.